still saved. And I'm determined. I like what was said in Sunday school today. What's the point in starting if you ain't going to finish? The reason you get saved is to go to heaven, not to get saved to make things better for a little while and things got a little better. Some folks do that, though. They're in a situation and have a real problem, and they want the Lord to do something. They know the Lord probably is not going to listen to them like He needs to. I'm putting that in quotations there. Unless they're saved, so they get saved for a little while, the Lord gets them out of the trouble, and they go back to what they were doing. But we're determined by the grace of God to make it to heaven. And I want to encourage every one of us that are here today that eternity is real. And it exists. It exists before time. And I've said this in times past, I say it often, if you don't believe in eternity, just look out into the universe. There is no end to it. And so the Lord reminds us on a daily basis, as we look up into the sky, that there is something that exists without an end. There is no end to it. And so I want to encourage you today that if you're not saved, today is the best day to get saved. If you are saved, today is the best day to make a reconsecration that I'm going to go all the way. No matter what happens, no matter what comes or goes, no matter how many heart trials that I'm having, and how what difficult, what suffering I have to go through, I'm going to make it to heaven because it's going to be worth it. And we'll be able to be in heaven throughout all eternity. And that's wonderful. And I'm looking forward to it. There is no option. And it should not be an option in any of our vocabulary. It shouldn't be an option whether or not we make it to heaven. I'm going to make it by the grace of God. You're going to make it by the grace of God. Whatever it takes, by the grace of God. We want to turn to Psalms, the 19th chapter. We want to talk today about the meditation of the heart. Psalms 19 and 14, we're going to read a very familiar text of Scripture. We want you to pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God.
19,
yes.
But the words of my mouth.
All right, this in my mind is a prayer. Lord, I want you to allow the words of my mouth. Yes.
And the meditation
of my heart
be acceptable
in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the psalmist here is saying, Lord, I want the words that I speak, the words that I speak to people, what I say to my fellow man, to those that I love, to those that don't love me, no matter what it is, Lord, I want my words to be acceptable to you. Now, one of the things that I've heard the old folks say, and I believe it with all of my heart, the Lord did not save you for people to treat you right. He saved you for you to treat people right. So you can expect that there are going to be some folks that are going to talk about you. They're going to stab you in the back. They're going to do things that are not good. And you're going to have a choice as to whether or not what comes out of your mouth is acceptable to the Lord or unacceptable to the Lord. That's your choice. Lord, so what he's saying here, Lord, let the words of my mouth, under any circumstance, under any kind of a situation that I'm dealing with, Lord, I want the words that I speak to be acceptable to you. All right? And he said, not only do I want the words to be acceptable, I want the meditation, what I'm thinking about a particular matter, what I'm thinking about a particular person, what I'm thinking about a particular set of circumstances that you've allowed to happen in my life, I want my meditation as I muse over this, as it goes over and over in my mind, I want whatever it is that I'm thinking about, I want you to say, well done, about what you're thinking about. Now, our thoughts are our private things, aren't they? You don't know what I'm thinking, but I can guarantee you that when the words come out of my mouth, what happens, have you ever talked to somebody that says that you thought you said that out loud? And you know that they didn't need to say what they were speaking. They didn't even say it out loud. And so what that tells you is one of the reasons that we pray, Lord, let the words be acceptable, because what the words are going to reflect is what I'm thinking. All right? So if I'm not thinking acceptable thoughts to the Lord, then the words that I'm going to speak are not going to be acceptable to the Lord either. So what happens is, have you ever gotten into a place where you thought about what you're going to say if you get into this situation? If they say this, then I'm going to say this.
And if they, have you ever just sit down for a long time and mused about how you're going to rebut what somebody else is doing, what they're saying, and how you're going to do it? That's what's going on in your mind. And then when you get there, maybe you stumble and stutter. Maybe you said exactly what you thought you were going to say, and maybe it turned out the way you wanted it to. Maybe it didn't. But what we have to look at, Lord, I want the things that are going on in my heart. I want the things that mean something to me. I want them to mean something to you in a positive way. So, Lord, I want you to let the words of my mouth, I want you to help me, and I realize that I need your help for this to happen. I need you to help me to think right. I need you to help me to think about you properly. I need you to help me to think about my fellow man. All of us have been in situations where we have thought something about someone or something, and we find out that that's not true at all. And so we have been anxious, we have been concerned and consumed by these things, and we find out that's not even the way that it is anyway. So we have to say, Lord, I want you to direct my thoughts. My thoughts are not just private to me. My fellow man may not know them, but Lord, you know the thoughts of my heart. You know what I'm thinking. You know whether or not those thoughts are acceptable to you. So Lord, I want to meditate on things that are acceptable in your sight. Alright? So that should be all of our determination. The Lord is not just going to judge us by the words that we say. He's going to judge us about what's in the abundance of our heart. What does the scripture say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this is why the scripture is saying, let the words that I speak, let the meditation that I speak be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you're my strength. You're my redeemer. Alright, what's the strength of the Lord? We're going to need the strength of the Lord to be able to think right. We're going to need the strength of the Lord to think right thoughts. All right? So He's our strength. Lord, I need help right here. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like, Lord, I need you to help me to get this out of my mind. I need you to help me to set this right. Because, Lord, no matter what I do, I try to sing a song, I try to do whatever, and it's still there. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Sometimes we have put ourselves in situations and we have done things that is causing the problem in our minds. And so what do? We go over and over and over in our mind what I've done, and oh man, I'm stupid. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like that was just a foolish thing for me to do? And yet now as a result of that, I'm suffering. Maybe people don't know that I'm suffering on the outside, but I know in my mind, and what I'm preaching to you is what happens in human, it's human nature, isn't it? So I know that I did something that was foolish, and as a result, that's why I'm being beat up in my own mind about what's going on. But now, you know what the reason I believe this scripture said, oh Lord, my strength, Lord, you can give me the strength to resist that thought. What does the scripture say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does it say about thoughts? Bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that, you know what? When you're going to take something into captivity, you need some strength and some authority to do it, don't you? What do? You see a fugitive running, there's going to be somebody running after him, and there's going to be a whole lot of manpower come tackle this man, and if he can squiggle away from him, he's going to do that. But if he can't, if there's enough power there to hold it there and bring him into captivity, they're going to do that. That's what's going to happen. In the same way, some of our thoughts need to be wrestled down to the ground because they're strong. That's part of me. That's who I am. That's how my family have thought all down through the years. And these thoughts are so strong, and there's something true about it. Whatever it may be, we need the power and the strength of God to come and wrestle this thing, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because it's affecting you spiritually. Now, some of these things that we feel are so foolish that we shouldn't have done, you know what? We have maybe dabbled on the enemy's territory. We need somebody to buy his back, don't we? Lord, I don't have it, so I don't have enough to buy this back. Would you do something? You know what the blood of Jesus does? It comes and it wipes it all away. Yes, that was a foolish act that you did. But you know what? I know the devil. It gave the devil some a leeway. It gave him a place and a room to be able, a legal ground. He, in essence, what you did, you wrote a contract, so to speak. I want you to understand what I'm saying. You wrote a contract that gave what your actions did is gave the devil some legal territory that God himself allows him to have. Because you allowed it. But you can go to the Lord in a humble way, submit it to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so sorry for what I did. It was foolish. When you do something about it, and you know what the Lord will do? See, the Lord will go there, he'll buy you back. Isn't that wonderful? He'll buy the situation. He said, yes, the devil comes there. And what does the devil do? The scripture says very plainly, he argues before the throne of God. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. What does he do? He comes and he accuses us. And what the Lord does, he comes in and he says, you're right, maybe you do have legal ground here because of what they did, but the blood of Jesus Christ pays the price. Isn't that wonderful? You know, all of us, there is not a person here, I don't care who we are, there's not a person here that didn't sin and didn't deserve to die. You understand what I'm saying? People of age of accountability, what I'm talking about. And deserved to die, but what did he do? Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He redeemed me from my sins and fully cleansed me. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to just sin more or less every day, but he fully cleansed me. Thank the Lord for that. All right. So we're talking about meditation. One of the things that we have in our society that no other society, and I can only suspect that it gets worse. Probably the majority of you are carrying around a pocket-sized computer, all right, that you can do almost anything on. You can listen to music, you can watch TV, you can watch movies, you can go on the computer. You can do anything that is accessible, you can do it on the telephone. On one of these little iPhones or whatever they are. That's one of them. The other ones are, I don't know what the other ones are. You can do almost anything on that little, am I right? I'm right, right?
Smartphones.
So, and I don't know very much about, I know how to do a few things on a smartphone and a few things on a computer. I am not computer literate. Alright? So a whole lot of things I don't know how to do, but a whole lot of things, I know how to do enough. And what I know how to do is almost too much. So what we have is, we have at our disposal, carrying around, very inconspicuous, something that gives us all kind of information. No other generation has ever had what we have. And so what it does, I can go to the airport right now, and in a few hours I can be in a whole other country. We don't have to sail around the world and 90 days or whatever it is. I can be in almost any country within a 24-hour period that I want to be in this world. I can be in any country. You can be in any country. We have the capability. You understand what I'm saying? And so what we have is we're so busy. And that when we go home, what is the average American there? When you go over to somebody's house and they have a television, it's always on. Even if nobody's watching it, even if nobody's listening to it, it's always on in the background somewhere. You hear some talking head, as they say. Somebody that's talking about something, and then all of a sudden your ear perks up and you can listen to what they say, and it turns your face and all your attention to it and all that. That's what it's meant for. And then when you get in, you get up in the morning and they, whatever people do their normal routine, they turn on the television, they turn on the radio. When you get in the car, you turn on the radio. When you come home, you turn on the computer. You have all these things that you're doing. When have you taken some downtime and spent some quality time with all this shut out, the world shut out, and just listen, Lord, I want you to talk to me. I want to get away from the hustle and bustle of the world. I want to just find this little desert place, my little private closet. I don't want nothing on, no radio, no computer, nothing on. I'm going to turn my phone off. Don't be mad at us. Because you know what? Have you ever noticed how people just talk on the phone all the time? You're driving down the road and somebody is talking and texting. Especially y'all young folks, stop talking and stop texting while you're driving. Now that's just some good advice, isn't it? Stop texting. Oh, I'm watching. No, don't do that. Lord help us. So have you ever noticed how many times people are always on the phone? I saw somebody taking out their trash. Yes, pulling the trash cart on the phone. And whatever, and it's like, is it really that important? But what happens is, because we are in this mode that I should be able to get to you as soon as I want to, and you should be available to me as soon, every time I call you, you should be available. Where was your phone? Why didn't you answer that phone when I called you? We've all been there, haven't we? And so, how many times did you call me, though? How many times a day did you call? I'm supposed to answer it every single... Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you something. Have you ever noticed how many times people hang up the phone and call you right back? Am I talking real life here? It's real life. Sometimes we need to get somewhere and be still and be alone with the Lord. All right? Lord, I realize I'm a very busy man. But you know what? I love mornings are the best time of the day for me. You know why? The birds are singing and chirping for everybody. I don't mind them sleeping late because you know what? That gives me some time to be with the Lord. Amen. And Lord, I want to talk to you this morning. I don't know what my day holds. You see my day. And Lord, I want to meditate on the things of God. Your goodness, what you've done. Now, I haven't got to some scriptures. Let's go to some scriptures. Let's go to Joshua 1 and verse 1. Let's just read that. We're going to read a little bit here because I want us to get the full picture here. Joshua 1 and 1. Yes. The Lord spake unto Joshua, yes.
Saying, Moses, my servant, is dead.
Moses is dead. I want you to get up and I want you to go over this Jordan. Circumstances have changed. Things are very different than what they were. You don't know what the future holds. Moses is dead. He was the leader. Now I'm tapping you on the shoulder and I'm telling you, I want you to go forward. I want you to take Moses' place. And I want you to be responsible for all these people. So the Lord is talking very clearly to Joshua. Joshua had to be in a position where he could listen to the Lord, didn't he? He had to be somewhere. He wasn't in where everybody was around and eating and drinking and enjoying themselves and at a dinner table and everybody laughing and enjoying themselves. And that wasn't when the Lord spoke to Joshua. The Lord spoke to Joshua when Joshua was alone somewhere in his tent, maybe laying on his bed, and the Lord began to speak with him. You know, that's when the Lord really speaks to us. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us in the hubbub of things, and he says, I want you to get out of the hubbub of things. I want you to go in this direction. The Lord does that to get us alone. But when we really have the opportunity to talk to the Lord and the opportunity for the Lord to really bless us and give us understanding and direction, it's when we're alone. So here is Joshua. He said, things have changed. Your circumstances are quite different. Now read. He said, even unto the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I've already given it to you. I'm not going to give it to you. It's already yours. So I wonder if Joshua got a hold of that. I wonder when the Lord speaks to us through His Word and we begin to meditate on His Word, that those promises that He gives us are for us. But you know, the children of Israel didn't go too terribly far into the land of Canaan before something happened. And I believe it's the same with us. Sometimes we go just a few steps and we think we gain all this ground. But you say, Lord, the Lord is saying there's that much more and more to go. So He said, every place that the sole of your feet have treaded, shall tread upon, I've already given it to you.
As I said unto Moses,
from the wilderness,
this Lebanon,
even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down to the sun, all of that, I've given it to you. I want you to go this way, that way, wherever you see, I've given that to you. Do you realize that there is spiritual ground that the Lord has already given you? There are victories. Now let me tell you something that happened in the land of Canaan. They met giants. They met themselves. They met their own failures and failings and all of this. And they had to overcome that in order to get this. The Lord didn't just say that I'm going to give it to you. You just run on it. He said every place that you claim, that you walk on and you say in the name of Jesus, this belongs to me, I've already given it to you. So every trial, every problem, every struggle that you are going through right now, you stand there and wait until the strength of the Lord comes and you let the Lord give it to you. It's already yours. It's already yours. The victories that you're desiring, the things that you're wanting from the Lord, you hold your ground. And sometimes the enemy is going to come there and he's going to tell you it's not yours. But the Lord said, I've already given it to you. So there is not a trial that you face. Those of you that may be newly saved, those of you that may be struggling, there is not a trial, there is not a problem that you'll come across that God has not already given you the victory. You understand what I'm saying? It's yours. There is no temptation that will ever come your way that if you stand on the ground that the Lord has given you, you already have the victory. It's yours before you even get to it. You haven't even, whatever trials you face in 2013, if the Lord let the world stand that long and let that be that long, every problem that you face in 2013 that you will face, and you haven't faced it yet, you've already got the victory. If you tread on it. You put your foot on the devil's neck in the strength of our Redeemer, it's already yours. And you haven't even gotten there yet. Whatever trial you'll be going through next November, it's already yours. The victory is already yours. Isn't that wonderful? That's what that scripture is saying. It's already mine. I don't have to be discouraged. All right, read. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Isn't that wonderful? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. Nor forsake thee. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, he's not going to fail you. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is that you're facing, the Lord has promised, and he has never gone back on his word. There is never a person that can say, God did not do what he promised me personally to do. You can't say that. You can't say it. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. You have to suffer. The sister said it. The brother said it in Sunday school today. You got to suffer. And Lord, the Lord said, I won't fail you. Saints, we don't have to be afraid. Lord, help us not to be. So he realizes and knows that you're going to face some things. The Lord already knew what they were going to face. You're going to face some things. And I want you to understand that you got to be of good courage because I'm going to be there. I'm not going to fail you. And I'm not going to forsake you, read. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide the inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only, he says it again, listen, you're going to have reason to feel weak. You're going to have a reason when you stand up and you see those giants and you're looking up at them like that. I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to realize that there is strength in your Redeemer. It's not going to be you that does it. It is God that's going to be doing it through you and for you. All right? Read. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people... All right, and then he says, only be strong again in the seventh verse. Only be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So what he's saying is the foundation of your success in your trials and your victory and the issues that you go through, the foundation of your success is the law of God. When you understand and you know that there are certain laws and there are certain, what a law does, it does two things. One of the things it does is it restricts and it protects. All right? So in one thing, the law that he had in the Garden of Eden, when he said, "Thou shalt of the tree of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat." That was a law. It would protect them by this restriction. It would have protected Adam and Eve, and it would have protected us. So there are certain things that when the Lord tells us, don't do that according to the Word of God, there is a protection in it. When he lays down the law, so to speak, and he said that there are certain things, even though it may be that everybody else is doing it. Remember when we used to say that to our mom? Well, Mom, everybody else is doing it. Well, if they jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? I don't know why they said that. But it made a point, didn't it? It made the point. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I have told you this, meditate on this law, meditate on my word, because there is power in the word of God. There is power in the law. There is authority there that when I stand firm and I say, Lord, we have done what you have told us to do, what we understand is your will for us to do, then the Lord backs us up. What we do when we follow the law and we do what the Lord has told us to do, we have the authority of heaven backing us. We have the strength of the great creator of the world when we meditate on his law day and night. We have his strength to be able to get through whatever it is that we are having to go through. That's what gives it to us. But if I decide, if you decide, if we decide in our own mind that we're going to do what we want to do because I think that there is a shortcut or a better way, then what happens is the Lord steps back. And we're on our own. But he said, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you, I won't fail you, but what you have to do, your end of the bargain, is to meditate on my law. Get a good, clear understanding of my law. Now, when you get a good, clear understanding of the law of God, and you meditate on that day and night, I don't know any person in the world whose life doesn't get better. Immediately. People, do we have problems? The saints have problems? Absolutely. But you know, what does the scripture say in one place? It says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is staying on him. Why? You got problems. Do you put your problems on? Do you put your mind and meditate on your problems? And, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. Or do you put your mind and meditate on the greatness of God? Which one should you do? I got problems. And how many times have we worried about problems and solved them while we was worrying? And felt better about it. All the anxiety. Oh, this is all the stress. Now I'm so stressed I can just pull my hair out or whatever the problem may be, or whatever I have issues, when all we need to do is put our mind on the Lord. Lord, help me to take my mind off the problem. That is not a passive thing. Meditation on the Lord day and night is not passive. What happens is we go, he said, on his law we meditate day and night. So we go through the scripture, we start reading, and we start reading scenarios in the Bible of somebody that was in a like situation like ours. And like the sister said, then hold on, Joan. Hold on. Well, Joan, because you know what? I just read your whole biography right here in this Bible. And listen, hold on, because in the next chapter, it's going to be all right. And so what we have to understand is that we're the Joans now. Anybody go? I want to see your hand if you've gone through a worse trial than Job. Literally, I want to see it. And don't be bashful. You know you haven't. I know I haven't. And what encourages me is that Job meditated on what God said he would do. And the more you do that, you meditate on his word, you find his promises, as he said here in this, and Joshua says here, every place in the soul of you find that you meditate on. You think about that. What did the sister say? That when she was having a problem, the Lord took her to Psalms 91, was it? Psalms 91. I don't know what it said, but it was good. I do know that. And it took her mind off the problem, and God solved it because he said, I won't leave you nor forsake you. But what is required is you meditate. You find some quiet place. You don't turn on the radio and listen to Rush Limbaugh, whoever you listen to, 90.1. Y'all know I listen to the radio sometimes. But you know what? The Lord just tells you sometimes, turn it off. You don't need to be listening to that. Was there anything wrong with it, Brother? Are you preaching again? What is it? NPR? Is that what you call it? NPR? I probably would preach against 104. Oh, come on, don't tell me what it is. What? 104.5, what's that? A little R&B and a little bit, what is it? Hip-hop. Now, Brother Darrell does teach against that. All right? Oh, did I step on somebody's foot? I want to step on your foot. There's a few other ones that I'll preach against it. But NPR, they talk about decent things, and I listen to it from time to time. But sometimes we need to just, I've got 30 minutes to go to work.
Right.
You drive to work, meditate on the Word of God. Lord, help my mind to be drawn in. This is one of those times that you've given me. I'm not on a bus, or even if you're on a bus, I want to find this little place in you that I can meditate on your goodness, what you've done for me, Lord. And he said that then, when you meditate on my law, day and night, that's when you're going to be prosperous. That's when you're going to have good success. I'm not talking about, this health and wealth, and then listen, y'all put enough money in this offering box, then y'all going to have all the health and wealth. I ain't preaching that. Put the money in the offering box like the Lord tells you. You should be tithing. Yeah. All right? Is that all right? You should be giving as the Lord tells you to give.
Yeah.
All right? But then I'm not going to promise you that when you do it, you're going to get rich. I will promise you that when you give the time and you give to the Lord what is His, He'll make you rich spiritually. I will tell you that. Spiritually speaking, you'll be a rich man. And let me tell you what else the Lord told me. I was dealing with something, and I wanted to say it for your encouragement. I was dealing with something with the Lord. I would really need you to do something for us. And we're wanting to try to, you get into the debt and you say, Lord, there's a way out of this, right? You know, the Lord brought me to the little boy with the loaves and the fishes. And that's about all I got is loaves and fishes. Two or three of them. Two loaves, three fish, whatever it was. And the Lord said, you pray and you bless that. And you start pinching it off. And I'll bless the rest of it. And you know, in the same way, you have those things when you meditate on the Lord. You say, Lord, I need you to do something for me. And the Lord will show you the way to do it. Are y'all with me? All right. All right, let's read it. How am not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage.
Be not afraid,
neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God goeth with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that wonderful? How many times did he say in the sixth verse he said, be strong and of a good courage? Seventh verse, be strong and of a very courageous. Ninth verse, be strong and of good courage. Now, he didn't say that three times. He said that repetitively.
Yeah.
You know why he said that? Sometimes the Lord tells us the same thing over and over and over. In the same kind of a setting, because he said, you're going to need that. You're going to need to be strong and very courageous. And you're going to need to meditate. And I believe what the Lord is saying to us today, meditate on my word. Yeah. Have you ever thought of it like this? You have a big to-do list, and I write them down all the time because if I don't, I'll forget. I don't. My mind is not as clear, and sometimes I have so much to do that I have to write down what it is I want to accomplish. And sometimes the things that I want to accomplish is a whole page in one day. And I want to know, when you write your to-do list, where is spending some time with the Lord on it? Is it up at the top? Or I'm going to try to squeeze that in if I'm not too sleepy before I go to bed. Let me tell you what I strongly suggest. I know some people are night owls, some people are morning people. But don't leave home without spending some time with the Lord. I don't care if you do give some time in the evening. Don't go out, don't spend your day. If you got up late, be 5 minutes later. It ain't going to hurt nothing. Spend some time with the Lord. Tell Him how much you appreciate Him. Ask Him, Lord, come into my mind and heart and fill me up and help me to go over and over in my mind of Your goodness. Now, I haven't even got halfway through the Scriptures. But so I'm going to run through some of them here. It says Psalms 1, verse 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. Let's read that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. He delights in the law of the Lord. Do you know why some... Let me tell you. You get up and give a child a chocolate bar, he is not going to eat his broccoli. That's something that's good for him. It takes his appetite away. You give him a big piece of cake before you... Why do we let... You know, it's something about us that we always have room for dessert. Have you ever noticed that? No matter who you are, you have room for dessert. No matter how full you are. So you don't eat it first. You eat it last because you know that that's just, so to speak, icing on the cake. Well, in the same way, some of the things that we do takes away our appetite for the things of God. Because we're so busy. We're already full. What I did today, I'm already full. So this is one reason why I say don't wait till the end of the day to meditate on the goodness of God and what you need God. You need Him at the beginning of the day. They say the breakfast is the most important meal. I guess it is. I know it's an important meal. But I believe that spiritual breakfast is the most important spiritual meal. Alright, so it says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. All the time he's thinking about the Lord. Well, you know what the script sing, song that we sing? Thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned to heavenly love. Lord, I want everything tuned. And the best time to tune it is in the morning, isn't it? The best time to get up and say, Lord, I want to be in tune with what you have for me today. So that means I need to spend some time with you and some quiet time, just me and you. My thoughts, the things that I'm concerned about, Lord, I lay them out on the altar and I give them to you. And I meditate on your promises of how you're going to take care of me, how you're not going to forsake me today, how you're going to be there with me today, Lord. If you'll do that, you'll help me. I'll give you that time. Meditate. Meditation of my heart. Lord, I want it to be acceptable. Meditation of my heart. All right? Let's go to Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate upon thee in my night watches. Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now, you know what? Sometimes, while you're laying in the bed, this is a good time for you to meditate on what God did for you today. Yeah. Right before you go to sleep, Lord, in the night watches, you promised this morning when I got up and I had my devotion and I prayed and I meditated on you. And as I was driving to work or riding the bus or on my lunch break or whatever, I just wanted a few minutes that I could just muse over you, dear Lord. Just understand a little bit more and pray and all that. Lord, now I'm laying in bed and in my night watch, I'm thinking about how you helped me. How you're right there, Lord. And how you promised, as you promised, you wouldn't forsake me. And you know what, Lord? You didn't. You didn't forsake me. I thank you for holding me up when right there when Miss So-and-so or my boss did this, Lord. You were right there. Yeah. Thank the Lord. What did the sister say about the woman just praying? And then all of a sudden she sees her son walking over there. You know why? Because she was praying and the Lord was right there. And you know what? She's telling somebody about it. And you know what? We lay in our bed at night and we think, Lord, maybe you don't have anybody to talk to, but you can talk to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, saints, it is not a passive thing. It's active. Maybe this is not such a good example, but you know how you marinate some meat. And you know why you marinate it? gets the flavor all the way through. You leave it in there overnight. You put it in the whatever it is, and you leave it in there overnight or for a few days, and you know what? That's some good meat, isn't it? In the same way, when we spiritually marinate in the Word of God and the goodness of God, it permeates all the way through us. It gets all the way down into the very core of our being. Lord, let the meditation of my heart, not just what I'm thinking on the outside, Lord, but what I'm musing on the inside, let it be acceptable in your sight. Let it get all the way down to my bones and to the marrow and to everything. And what it says, my soul was satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. It got all the way down to the very inside of my bones, Lord. Your word, it's that good. You ever been in church and thinking about, okay, I'm about to go to church, I got to do it. I got to get this done, I'm going to go eat, and then I've got to go to the grocery store. Have you ever been in church and all about that stuff? Oh, you know you have. You don't have to shake your head, or you don't have to raise your hand. We all have had to fight it, haven't we? And so what we have to do is, Lord, give me, at least while I'm at church, let me meditate on your word, these songs. Gird up the loins of my mind. Don't allow your mind to just wander anywhere that it wants to wander. It doesn't have that liberty. Lord, give me the strength to hold myself in and to think of the things of God while I'm here during the time that I allot for you, Lord. Help me and give me the strength to do that. Meditate on the Word of God. You know what? You'll be a good saint. You'll be a better saint. You'll go through your trials better. It'll get down to the marrow, down to the very, some of that food they get marinated too good and cook it for a long time, you can eat the bones. You ever did that before? Oh, y'all know y'all have. Because it's got away. That's what that scripture is talking about, right? My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Gets all the way down. Lord, help us. All right, y'all still with me? All right. All right. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 77 and 11. We're going to try to bring it to an end soon. 77 and 11.
I will remember the works of the Lord.
Surely I will remember thy wonders of old.
I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doing.
So what is this talking about? It says, Lord, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Now, I want to look at this scripture in this light. What did the Lord do for you 10 years ago? Do you know, and I say this often when I'm preaching, you're going through problems and trials, and the one that you're in right now seems like it's the worst one you've ever been in. Have you ever been in trials like that? This is the worst. Lord, out of all the trials and all the problems that I've dealt with, this seems like it's the worst one that I've ever had to deal with. And Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. You ever had those kinds of feelings? But then when you think about it, Lord, and sometimes I think it's good for us to write it down and write down what we were feeling when we were on a journal, what we were feeling while we were going through these things, how hard it was and the struggle that we had, and then we were on the other side and what the Lord did, we were able to look back and see what the Lord gave us and the progress, the experience that He gave us. And it's good while we're going through the trials now to think about His works of old, what He did for me 10 years ago. What He did for me when I was going through that severe trial last year, 6 months ago, 20 years ago, when it seemed like I couldn't put one foot in front of the other, the Lord was there just like He said to Joshua, I will not fail you. I want to be courageous. I will not forsake you. I want to be strong. And He says it to us over and over and over again, just like He said it to Job. He said it to Job, be strong, I'm with you, I'm not going to forsake you. Even though Job felt like the Lord, Job couldn't see Him. He said, I went on this side and I looked for you, and you weren't there. And you went on this side where you always were. You always worked here, Lord, and you weren't there. I went forward, you weren't there. I went backward, and you weren't there. But Lord, you know the way that I take it. And when you have tried me, I shall come forth. I will come forth. This ground that I'm walking on is already mine. Even the boils and all the problems that I'm having, it's already mine because you promised it to me, Lord. You said, I have already given it to you. Not that you will give it to me, you've already done it. And Job held on, and God was faithful. He says, you know the way that I take. Sometimes It seems like the Lord is silent. Meditate on that. Selah. Pause. Think about that for a moment. Don't be in such a hurry. Think about that God sometimes, to make us, what do? We do it with our children. Sometimes we see our children stumbling or bumbling, and we just have to step back and let it happen because that is the best experience. And then before they hurt themselves too bad, we reach up and we grab them by the hand. The Lord does it the same way. I'm with you. Meditate on that. Even when it doesn't seem like He is, meditate on it. All right. Psalms 119, 15. A lot of scriptures in Psalms.
I will meditate in thy precepts.
I will meditate in thy precepts. And have respect
unto thy ways.
Have respect unto thy ways.
I will delight myself in thy statutes.
I will delight myself in thy statutes.
I will not forget thy word.
I won't forget your word, Lord. So He says here, I will meditate on thy precepts. Not just, I'll meditate on your precepts, Lord. And I will respect your way. The Lord has a different way than we do sometimes. And you know, one of the things that I'm finding in our generation, we don't respect the things of God like we should. It is unconscionable to me for somebody to break into a church and try to steal something. I'd be afraid of that. I'd be afraid that the Lord is going to strike me dead with a bolt of lightning. Because I respect the ways of the Lord. I respect Him. So saints, one of the problems that I'm seeing in our generation is people in our generation have a different idea of God. And God is like a buddy. Or He understands. And I don't have to do all that His precepts require. Or that's the way you see it and I see it a different way. Well, how does God see it? How do I know how God sees it? I know how God sees it because I spend some time with Him. And you know what? When you spend some time in quiet time, those that are your closest friends, whether it's your husband, wife, mother, father, those that are closest to you, how many times have you had quiet conversations where they have exposed their heart to you? How they have exposed their vulnerability to you and how you've exposed yours to them. And you know in the quiet corners of their mind what they're thinking when they're in a certain situation. And so you know how they feel about these things and they know how you feel about these things because you have spoken when nobody else was around. It wasn't in a group setting. It was just you and this person that was very close to you. And so what happens oftentimes is that it's one thing for me as a pastor in this group setting to explain some things to you as to what the Lord would have you to do and give you the precept of it, the basic outline of it. But it's another thing for you to go and spend some time with the Lord and get to know Him in an intimate and a personal way and Him to expose, to open His heart to you and you to open your heart to Him and you all have some good communion. There's something more to that. And that when you're in the midst of the trial and it didn't have anything to do with anybody else, you know that this is favorable, that is acceptable to God. What you're doing is acceptable to God, and not just acceptable to other people. It may not be acceptable to other people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about a revolt, a rebellion, but I'm talking about maybe the things that the Lord is requiring of you. You know in the depths of your heart that this is what He requires of me. And why do you know that? Because you've taken some time to sit down and speak with Him about it. Lord, open up my understanding. Help me to muse on it. Help me to cogitate and understand in my mind what it is that you require of me. Lord, let it be acceptable. Because the only way that my actions are going to be acceptable to you is that what I'm thinking is acceptable. How I'm thinking is acceptable. Lord, help us. All right, I'm almost finished here. 1 Timothy 4 and 13. And someone give us 1 Peter, we refer to it, 1 Peter 1 and 13. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13.
Shall I come?
Give attendance to reading.
To exhortation.
To doctrine. Do you know what? Folks don't want to hear doctrine anymore. Give attendance to it. The doctrine of salvation. The Lord intends for you to live a holy life. Period. The Lord wants you to be sanctified. Period. Have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That's what's going to give you the power to be able to stay saved. The only way that you can live a holy life is to have the strength of the power of the Spirit of God ruling and reigning in your life. Lord, help us. All right, read.
Neglect not the gift
that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy,
with the
laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all. God is no respecter of persons. If you give yourself wholly to the Word of God, to the doctrine of the Word of Scripture, if you give yourself wholly to the Lord, not no reserve, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm willing to do it, Lord. No matter what it is, no matter how difficult it is, Lord, I'm willing to do it. You do that, you know what? Not only, it's not going to be a secret. It's not going to be a secret that you've been alone with God. They say that somewhere in the Scripture. I can tell it was ignorant and unlearned man, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. They knew it. They knew that they had spent some quiet time. The Lord would often take his disciples aside into a desert place, into a home, and they just have heart-to-heart talks. And this is, Jesus wants to be that real to you, heart-to-heart talks. All right? But if you run into work and got a piece of toast in your mouth and a cup of orange juice in one hand and you're running out of the house, you're running late again for the fourth time this week, and it's Thursday, how much time are you going to have to spend with the Lord? Set that alarm clock and get up. Get up. Get up. Talk to the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to let me preach next week. All right. All right. That property may appear unto all. So everybody will know. And so this is what the sister stood up and said. You know, they know you got inner peace. How do they know that? So I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Why? Because he trusts in me. All right, moving toward our conclusion. 1 Peter 1, 13.
Wherefore,
gird up the loins of your mind,
be sober, and hope to the end.
For the grace that is to be brought unto you. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. What that means, draw your minds in. You have to do this. The one scripture that we didn't read, we'll refer to, very familiar text of scripture, that speaks about, be not conformed to this world. It says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. That's 12th chapter of Romans. Then it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, help me to have a new mind. Now, the last scripture, Psalms 139:23 of Psalms.
Search me, O God.
All right, so we're asking the Lord. Lord, we started with saying, I want the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, to be acceptable. The only way that we know that is I allow you, I give you permission. Permission is granted for you to know my thoughts, Lord. He knows them anyway. But I give you permission to know them. All right?
Search me, O God.
Search me, O God.
Know my heart.
I want you to know my heart. I want you to know what I'm thinking about.
Try me.
And know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me.
And lead me
in the way of everlasting. What do you think about? What do you turn over or revolve in your mind? What are the subjects? What's your continuous thought? What is your contemplation? What do you do on a daily basis? How much time in your day do you give to meditating on the things of God? If you want to be a successful, you want to be, Scripture says, successful, be prosperous spiritually speaking, you cannot neglect your meditation on the things of God. You cannot neglect the law of God. You can't do it. It's one of the very foundational, simple things, maybe not something that you do all the time, or maybe you see that you realize you need to do it a little bit more, but you cannot be have the level of success that you need to have if you do not meditate on the Word of God.